Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Your Health is Your Wealth with your host, Rashad Suni El Amin. I am a holistic educator and teacher and also a naturopath. I want to first thank the Creator for allowing us this time to be able to talk to the audience about health. And also, I want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad from Religion Means Alive for allowing me to spot every Thursday at 6 o'clock. And I just want to apologize for the last few weeks I haven't been on and due to some certain circumstances. But, you know, God always knows best. But I'm here now, and I have a wealth of information I want to share with you today. So, again, we thank everybody for tuning in. I always suggest that you get your pencils and pads so that you may take notes, because any one of you may be suffering with one of the conditions I may share with you this evening. So please take those notes so that you can have it in case if you're not suffering with something, maybe a co-worker, a family member, friend, whomever may be suffering with this type of disease or sickness, and you'll be able to share this information with them, and hopefully they'll be able to use it, apply it, and get some results for themselves, you see. Now, I do want to say that usually Imam Alfred always asks if he can send donations to keep his show on, because the radio blog program does cost money, and it's expensive. And in order to keep this information coming in, we need people to send in whatever you can, whether it's $1, $2, or, and I know things are hard nowadays, and a lot of people just don't have the money. But you can send it to Alfred Muhammad. He's at 817 Jackson Avenue in Linden, New Jersey. Linden is L-I-N-D-E-N, and the zip code is 07036. Whatever you send will be appreciated. I know the brother would appreciate it very much, and we hope and pray that this program can always be on the air. So this is 7 days a week. He does 6 days on Religion Means Alive, and I do the Thursdays for him on Your Health is Your Wealth. So again, I thank you all for tuning in, and let's get ready to get started. I want to share a few topics with you. I know many of us haven't learned how to eat right yet. I shared a lot of information with you on diet over the weeks, over the months, what to do for yourself to help yourselves. And hopefully that many of you have started your road to healing because you have changed your diet, you took heed to what was being said. And if not, please try your best, because you only get one body. And if you don't take care of that body, you don't get another one. So let's get started. I do want to touch on something called acidosis. You know, many of us are so acidic. Our bodies are so acidic that it creates disease. And you would not have disease if your body was balanced, if it was neutral. But many of us are so acidic, and we suffer from many sicknesses. So let's look at acidosis. I'll spell acidosis for you, which is A-C-I-D-O-S-I-S, acidosis. What is acidosis, brothers and sisters? Acidosis is a condition in which the body chemistry becomes imbalanced and overly acidic. That's basically the bottom line. It becomes overly acidic because of it being imbalanced. And the symptoms associated with acidosis include frequent sighing, insomnia, water retention, recessed eyes. You ever see some people's eyes that look so recessed? That's acidosis. Rheumatoid arthritis, migraine headaches, low blood pressure, dry hard stools, foul smelling stools, accompanied by a burning sensation in the anus, alternating constipation and diarrhea, difficulty swallowing, burning in the mouth, and or under the tongue, sensitivity of the teeth to vinegar and acidic fruits, and bumps on the tongue or the roof of the mouth. And these are basically the symptoms of acidosis. Now, I know many of you out there are probably constipated, and you have these hard stools because you're straining. You know, you don't have enough water in your system. You don't drink enough water. You don't eat enough fresh fruits and vegetables that have fiber in it and has water in it, that has enzymes in it. And a lot of us are just eating junk food, and that creates constipation and creates foul-smelling stools. You know, you find people who go to the bathroom, and they sit on that stool for about a half hour, 45 minutes before they can release anything. And it's hard. And when they come out, the bathroom smells so foul, you hate to go in behind somebody. But this is the truth. So anyway, acidity and alkalinity are measured according to the pH. That's potential of hydrogen. That's a scale. And you always want to have the right balance, pH balance, in your body. So water that has a pH of 7.0 is considered neutral, neither acid nor alkaline. And anything with a pH below 7.0 is acid, while anything with a pH and above 7.0 is alkaline. So the ideal range for the human body is between 6.0 and 6.8. And the human body is naturally mildly, that is, acidic. Not the way some people are, very acidic. So values values below the pH 6.3 are considered on the acidic side, and values above pH 6.8 are on the alkaline side. So, brothers and sisters, acidosis occurs when the body loses its alkaline reserve. And some causes of acidosis include kidney, liver, and adrenal disorders, improper diet, malnutrition, obesity, ketosis, anger, stress, fear, anorexia, toxemia, fever, and the consumption of excessive amounts of niacin, vitamin C, or aspirin. Why would you be taking aspirin? Because your doctor told you to, right? Because it's good for your heart, and they tell you to take this bare aspirin, take one aspirin a day. But they don't tell you it's going to burn a hole in your stomach for you taking that. It's only the magnesium from the aspirin that your heart is using, when you can just take a magnesium supplement and don't have to worry about a hole in your stomach. Or just eat foods that contain magnesium. You see? You know, you ever eat a banana? I'm sure you have. Some people, I can't eat bananas. You know the little strings that are on a banana, when you peel the banana, the little strings? That's pure magnesium. Eat those. And if you don't like eating the strings, put it in your smoothie. Blend it up. You'll never know. And you'll have some magnesium. But there's other foods that have it, but that's not the topic right now. So diabetics often suffer from acidosis, you see? And stomach ulcers are often associated with this condition. Yes, how many of you out there suffer with ulcers? Do you remember what I said you need to do to repair the ulcer? You either buy some raw honey and eat a spoonful a day, and it will kill the bacteria that creates the ulcer, because the honey dries up the water that the bacteria is in, and that's the end of it. Or buy cabbage, wash it good, and make yourself cabbage juice and drink that pure for a few days, maybe 3 or 4 days. It should heal it right up. And it works every time, because I have clients that have told me it did the trick. instead of taking all these drugs that these physicians suggest to you that never really clears up the problem because it doesn't go to the root of the problem, you see? But when you eat properly, when you put the right foods in your body, you don't have to worry about these conditions. You bring this upon yourself only because of ignorance and because of ignorant doctors not knowing what to really do, and they can create a worse matter, you see, to make the problem even worse. Let's do our best to eat properly so we can have a more neutral pH in our bodies. Now, an acid and alkaline self-test. You can buy these things. You know, this test will determine whether your body fluids are either too acidic or too alkaline. And an imbalance can cause illnesses such as acidosis or alkalosis, which I'll be talking about next, after I finish with acidosis. You can go to your pharmacy and purchase what they call pH paper, P as in Peter, H as in Harry, pH paper. It's available at any drugstore, and you apply your saliva or urine onto this paper, and the paper will change color to indicate if your system is overly acidic or alkaline. Now, red litmus paper turns blue in an alkaline medium, and blue litmus paper turns red in an acid medium. So always perform the test either before eating or at least 1 hour after eating. And depending on the results of your test, you should alter your diet to help bring your body back into the normal range. If your test indicates that your body is too acidic, you got to eat more alkaline-forming foods and omit acid-forming foods from your diet until another pH test shows that you have returned to normal. Now, conversely, if your body is too alkaline, get more acid-forming foods and omit alkaline-forming foods. And I have a list, a guide here, to which foods are acid-forming and which are alkaline-forming. And, excuse me, low-level acid-forming and low-level alkaline-forming foods are almost neutral. Now, I'm going to mention some foods here, but don't think that all these foods are bad. These are acid-forming foods, but like I just mentioned, before I mention all this here, that you need certain acid-forming foods if your body's too alkaline. You just want to balance things. But these are the acid-forming foods. Alcohol. First of all, none of us should be drinking alcohol. Alcohol does your body no good whatsoever, and it does your brain no good whatsoever. You don't need alcohol in the body. It's not something that's required. Your body doesn't ask for it. You see, unless you're just addicted to it. Other than that, when you were a baby, your body didn't say, oh, mommy, I need some alcohol. No, you were sucking on some milk, not on any alcohol. Okay? Now, let me read the rest of these acid-forming foods. Asparagus is acid-forming. Now, I'm not saying this is very acid-forming. You know, I'm just saying some of these are low-level acid-forming foods, and some of them are very acid-forming foods. But asparagus, which is a good food. Beans, which are excellent food. Now, these are acid-forming foods. Brussels sprouts, ketchup, chickpeas, cocoa. Coffee is very acidic. I would suggest you stay away from coffee. Cornstarch. Cranberries, eggs. If you eat eggs, brothers and sisters, make sure they're organic or free range, where the hens are running around eating natural feed, not something that's been cooped up a cage with five or six other hens, and they can't even move around, and they're pecking at each other, stressed out. You don't want those type of eggs. You see, and let me mention something about some of these chickens you buy. I'm just a little side note here. I know many of you love chicken. You love that fried chicken. You love that baked chicken, any kind of way, you see. And they have all these names for all these chickens, Detroit chicken, Jersey chicken. Who knows? Everybody got a name for their chicken, but it's all chicken. But do you ever notice how some chicken looks very yellow, looks yellow? You ever notice that? And some, it looks kind of white. But why are those chickens yellow looking? Well, guess what? Have you ever seen a chicken urinate? No, you haven't. I've been on a farm. You never see a chicken urinate, a hen or whatever. You never see them urinate. Why? Even a bird. You ever see a bird urinate? No, you never see that. What they do, they sweat. Their urine comes out through their sweat. That's how they release urine. You see? So you have a chicken that's running around and is free to run around, and you see it flapping its wings at times and everything. It's releasing the urine through their sweat. But if you have a chicken that's cooped up in a cage with five or six other chickens, and they don't even have room to move around, all they do is lay eggs, they never release the urine. So when you go to buy that chicken and you see it's yellow and you cook it and you eat it, you are ingesting urine along with that chicken. Just a side note, okay? So hopefully you got something out of that. Eat organic, free-range chickens if you're going to eat a chicken. Make sure it's a chicken that's running around, getting exercise, sweating out the urine. Otherwise, you'll be eating its urine. So much for that. Let's move on. I said eggs last, right? Fish, flour, and flour-based products, especially white flour, is very acidic, very acid-forming. Legumes, which are basically beans. Lentils. And these are good foods now, but, you know, they have the acidic side to it, which you can eat. Like I said, you just learn how to balance your alkaline and acid. Meat is very acidic. Yes, meat is red meat especially, very, very acidic. That's why many of you are sick right now. Milk is very acidic. Milk is liquid meat, you see. It wasn't meant for you. Only milk that was meant for you was mother's milk. After that, weaning period, there's no need for any more milk, you see. Mustard is acidic, but mustard is a very good food. Noodles. If you're going to eat noodles, eat some kind of whole grain noodle. They have many of those on the market now, spelt or whatever. They have whole grain types, not the white noodles, okay? Not those. Oatmeal, which is excellent food, but it's on the acid side. Olives, which are excellent, but it's on the acid side. Organ meat, so y'all like to eat that liver and all that stuff and those nasty intestines and chitlins and all that foul-smelling stuff. Y'all can eat it if you want. That's acidic as you can get. Pasta, pepper, plums, poultry, prunes, sauerkraut, shellfish, soft drinks. Stay away from soft drinks, period. Sugar. All foods with sugar added, stay away from. Certain teas are acidic, and vinegar is acidic. But many of those foods are good for you. Some are just mildly acid-forming, and some are highly acid-forming. And we know aspirin and tobacco and most drugs are also acid-forming. All those medical drugs you get are acid-forming, you see. Now, the low-level acid-forming foods are butter, canned or glazed fruit, cheeses, dried coconut, dry or sulfured fruit, grains, most of them, ice cream, ice milk, lamb's quarters, seasoned nuts, most of them. You see, those are low-level acid-forming foods. Now, the alkaline-forming foods, avocados. Oh, I love those avocados. Avocados are a great food. You diabetics out there, listen, eat avocados to help balance your blood sugar. Very excellent food. Corn. Oh, I love some corn on the cob. But make sure your corn is organically grown, because the majority of the corn today is GMO and is very destructive to the body, brothers and sisters. Make sure it's organically grown. Dates. Oh, my favorite foods. My God, I got to have dates every morning. I eat 3 to 5 dates every day, early in the morning. Dates are one of the best foods on the planet, period. One of the best antioxidant foods on the planet, period. Make sure you have dates. And dates help with your digestion, and it helps things to flow. Fresh coconut, excellent. You know, coconut is one of the best foods also on the planet. And, you know, I always speak about the coconut oil, how great it is for your system. And I still have to do just a program on just the coconut oil itself, because you need to know the benefits of the coconut and the coconut oil. So fresh coconut, excellent. And the coconut water. Chop off the top and stick a straw in it and drink that water. Very hydrating for your body. You see, very hydrating for the body. Okay? Fresh fruits, most of them are alkaline-forming foods. Fresh vegetables, most of them are alkaline foods. Honey is an alkaline food. Maple syrup is an alkaline food. Molasses, raisins, and actually, believe it or not, soy products, which I tell the brothers, and I'm not a proponent of soy, but gentlemen out there, you don't need to eat soy. It's got female estrogens in there, and you don't need that in your system, because it can help feminize you, help you grow breasts and all that stuff. So I'm just suggesting, gentlemen, stay away from soy. We're going to have to do a show on soy also, because you need to understand it. Soy has its good and bad, but we'll leave it at that for now. Now, you know, although it may seem that citrus fruits would have an acidifying effect on the body, but the citric acid they contain actually has an alkalinizing effect on the system. Did you know that? Yes. It actually turns alkaline once you ingest it. So that's something to keep in mind, brothers and sisters. Don't say, oranges and grapefruit, those are things that are acidic. No. Once you put it in your body, they turn alkaline, you see. Now, some low-level alkaline-forming foods would be almonds, blackstrap molasses, Brazil nuts, buckwheat, and I'm not talking about Little Rascals now. Okay? Not him. That's my little brother there. But buckwheat, the grain. Okay? Chestnuts, lima beans, millet, which is an excellent food, and it's from Africa, one of the best grains on the planet. You should eat plenty of millet if you are of African descent. Okay? Now, these are the acid and alkaline foods. Okay, so keep that in mind. Get the pH paper and always check your pH level to see if you are acidic or you are alkaline or you are neutral. So this is very important, brothers and sisters. Now, some herbs you can use to balance things would be elder bark. Elder is E-L-D-E-R, bark. Hops is another good herb. Now, I'm not talking about hops that some of you drug addicts might be thinking about. I'm not talking about heroin hops. I'm talking about hops, okay? And willow. is excellent. Now, these three are excellent for acidosis. Use those for acidosis. That is elder bark, hops, and willow. Now, externally, you can also apply ginger compresses to the kidney area, which helps with that problem. Now, I would say to you, eat a diet of 75% raw foods, such as apples, avocados, bananas, grapefruit, grapes, lemons, pears, pineapples, and all vegetables. Fresh fruits, especially citrus fruits and vegetables, they reduce acidosis. And you can start with small amounts of citrus fruits and gradually add larger amounts. Now, some of you say, oh, I can't do 75%. Then go 50% of raw food and 50% cooked. But ideally, 75% raw and 25% cooked is much better for you. A good thing? How many of you out there like potatoes? You can make a potato broth. Also good for balancing your pH. But avoid animal protein, especially beef and pork. The piggy wiggy will not do you any good except give you an oink. Okay? Stay away from it. And it's got plenty of parasites. Last time I spoke on here, I spoke about the parasites. Oh, my God. You don't want the piggy wiggy in your system. Okay? Processed or junk foods are not good for you. If you just read the labels on processed foods, and if you can't recognize those words or understand what it's saying, stay the heck away from that. That's not natural. That stuff is denatured. Stay away from that, brothers and sisters, and reduce your intake of cooked food. You see, when ingested, cooked and processed foods become acid in the body. When you cook your vegetables, just steam them lightly. Stop cooking them to death. You know, some of you want to make the collard greens and you cook them to death and you add that nasty pork in there. That stuff is not doing you no good. You see, there's nothing, that's dead. That stuff starts turning brown and everything. That stuff is dead. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Okay. Now, I would say this. Make sure you try to balance. I gave you those foods now. I hope you wrote them down. But some of you will not write things down. And then when time comes and you suffer with this problem, you say, so what did that gentleman say that I should have done? And I should have written it down. Now I don't have it. Now I got to try to find out this information all over again, and I'm giving it to you right here, right now. You understand? Practice some deep breathing, brothers and sisters. That's also very good for you. But check your urine pH daily if you have this problem. Get the pH paper and start self-testing. And write down every day what your pH level is until you get it balanced. Okay? Now, I hope that you got something out of this. Because now, after talking about the acidosis, now we're going to talk about alkalosis. Alkalosis is A-L-K-A-L-O-S-I-S. Okay? What is alkalosis? Well, alkalosis is the inverse of acidosis. It is a condition in which the body is too alkaline. And brothers and sisters, alkalosis is less common than acidosis. Most people are acidic. Not too many people become overly alkaline. Okay? So alkalosis is less common than acidosis, and produces overexcitability of the nervous system. Okay? So the peripheral nerves are affected first. You see? Yes, it can produce overexcitability. Yeah, you ever been just too excitable? Huh? Yeah, it affects your nervous system. So the peripheral nerves are affected first. The symptoms may be manifested as a highly nervous condition. You say, well, why am I so nervous? What's wrong with me? You see? So, like I said, a highly nervous condition, including perventilation and even seizures. Yes. And other symptoms can include sore muscles, creaking joints. You ever have your joints that sound like they're creaking all the time? Ah. Alkalosis. Bursitis. You know, bursitis is inflammation of the bursa. That's over by your shoulder. You see, any itis is inflammation. Okay, just remember that. Drowsiness. You ever see people with protruding eyes? Yes, alkalosis. Hypertension. Hypothermia. Seizures. Edema. Allergies. Night cramps. Asthma. Chronic indigestion. Night coughs. Vomiting. Too rapid blood clotting and thick blood, menstrual problems, hard, dry stools, prostatitis, and thickening of the skin with burning, itching sensations. So alkalosis may cause calcium to build up in the body, as in bone or heel spurs. Huh? Yes, alkalosis, you see? So you don't want to be so alkaline. So acidity and alkalinity are measured according to the pH, which is potential of hydrogen, as I mentioned earlier, potential hydrogen scale. So water with a pH of 7.0 is considered neutral, neither acid nor alkaline. And any substance with a pH above 7.0 alkaline, with anything with a pH below 7.0 is acid. Now, I know there's a lot of people, especially in the black community, there are these brothers and sisters selling alkaline water. They spend $5,000-$6,000 on some machine that the Japanese have invented, and they're selling this water $5-$10 a gallon. Alkaline water. And most of the people who sell this stuff, they don't know anything about nutrition. And they think that it heals a lot of things. They feel it when they first drink it. Oh, man, I feel good. But in all reality, all water, when it hits your stomach, turns acidic. Plain and simple. But again, the same country that produced this produced some studies from Japan that shows alkaline water may be detrimental because they can cause heart problems. You know, they changed the molecular structure of the water. So that's not the topic this evening, but just be careful. You going out there to buy all this alkaline water, thinking you're getting. And, you know, most water is not regulated on the market. You go to these supermarkets and get glacial water and all that stuff. That water's from Florida. It's nothing but tap water. And all they do is filter it. And you think you got something from the glaciers, Swiss Alps water, and all this other stuff. And it's mostly tap water. And you're paying all that money for nothing. Do you understand? Drink distilled water. That's probably the best water you can drink right now. So distilled, with the distillation process, it removes all of the toxins. And yes, it does remove the minerals. And some people say if you drink the distilled water, it's going to remove the minerals in your body. No, it does not remove all the minerals in the body. It removes the inorganic minerals of the body. But if you feel you need to have the minerals back in the water, the distilled water, you can buy some mineral drops, and it brings the water back to life. Or you can add a little sea salt, which will put minerals back in the water. That's what I do. I add a nice little pinch of sea salt to a gallon of water, and it brings the water back to life, so it doesn't become aggressive. So this is what you can do. But don't be fooled about all these expensive waters that you're just wasting money on. You might as well just go to the tap or just buy a good filter and put it on your faucet and get the tap water from there. You save a lot of money. So do your homework. You don't have to take my word for anything. Do your own homework. I've done mine. Okay, so any substance with a pH above 7.0 is alkaline, while anything with a pH below 7.0 is acid. And like I said, the ideal pH range for the human body is between 6.0 and 6.8. The human body is naturally mildly acidic, like I said earlier. Okay, remember that. But alkalosis is often the result of excessive intake of alkaline drugs, such as sodium bicarbonate for the treatment of gastritis or peptic ulcers. It can also result from excessive vomiting, high cholesterol, endocrine imbalance, poor diet, diarrhea, and osteoarthritis. Yes! It can result from those conditions. Now, so, like I said, make sure you purchase your paper to take the acid and alkaline test, which you can get from your pharmacy, drugstore, whatever you want to call it. It is a drugstore. They sell many drugs in there. Okay? And do as I said earlier. And like I said, always perform the test either before eating or at least 1 hour after eating. So when you purchase this pH paper, it'll tell you just when to perform the test. Okay, now, I mentioned earlier what the acid-forming foods were. I don't have to go over that. And I mentioned earlier what the low-level acid-forming foods and what the alkaline-forming foods are and the low-alkaline-forming foods are. So I don't have to go over that. If you were taking your notes, you got it. If you weren't, sorry. That's all I can say, okay? So keep that in mind. Okay, now, here's some supplements that are helpful for this condition. Alfalfa. Alfalfa is a green. Alfalfa has the longest roots of any plant. They can go down hundreds of feet into the earth and draw all kinds of nutrients. Alfalfa means father of all foods, huh? Alfalfa. I'm not talking about little rascals here now. Not the little piece of hair sticking off that boy's head. Not that alfalfa. I mean the alfalfa that's green. That's good for you. You understand? Okay. They have something called L-cysteine. That's capital L-C-Y. S-T-E-I-N-E. And you would take like 500 milligrams twice daily on an empty stomach. And make sure you take it with water or juice. Do not take it with milk. Okay? You shouldn't be drinking the milk anyway. And you can take it with 50 milligrams of vitamin B5 and 100 milligrams of vitamin C for better absorption. Okay? Now, why would you take L-cysteine? It's needed to produce glutathione, a major detoxifying chemical. Also aids in making the tissues more acid and you have to look at, you know, the amino acids in this case, okay? But not because, and when I say more acid, I'm talking because you, if you're suffering with alkalosis, where your body is too alkaline, okay? Selenium, which is excellent. You know, selenium protects you against cancer. But anyway, 200 micrograms daily is great. Not milligrams, micrograms. That's if you buy the supplement. And it protects against free radicals produced in alkalosis. Now, one place you can find a high level of selenium is in Brazil nuts. Yes, Brazil nuts. Very good food. Excellent for the brain also, especially for memory. Keep that in mind. So get some Brazil nuts. I know some say, I can't eat nuts. They're big nuts. Put them in your smoothie. It'll grind it up and make it nice and smooth. You'll have your fruits and whatever in there, your berries and your almond milk, and you'll have a nice smoothie. You see? Sulfur. Yes, 500 milligrams daily is an acid-forming mineral which helps to correct the pH balance. You know what else you find sulfur? Onions. Onions have natural sulfur. I eat an onion a day. They say onion a day keeps the stroke away. Eat your onions, brothers and sisters. Onions are an excellent, excellent food. Very good food. Many of you will say, I can't eat those onions. Well, too bad. What can I say? I eat them. I love them. You don't want to bring them, send them over to me. I'll be glad to accept them, especially those Vidalia onions from Georgia. Those are so nice and sweet. God almighty, I love them. Anyway, you can also use a vitamin B complex, 100 milligrams daily. And this is also essential for stable and normal pH. Use that, you see. Vitamin C, 3,000 to 6,000 milligrams daily, and take it in divided doses throughout the day. This is a potent antioxidant, and is also a free radical scavenger, you see. So make sure you get the alfalfa, which is beneficial also for your digestive tract. And it's a good source of vitamin K and other nutrients, you see. Very good. Oh, you purchase some alfalfa sprouts. Alfalfa sprouts are excellent. Yes. So you can also adopt a diet consisting of 80% grains, including the beans, breads, brown rice, crackers, lentils, macaroni, soy, sauce, and whole grain cereals. These are the more acidic foods, but it's helping to balance the high alkaline pH level in your body, which is the alkalosis, you see. Okay, now, do not use antacids or mineral supplements, okay, at least not for 2 weeks, but antacids are very bad for your body. And you only use that because you eat too much. You eat at the wrong time. You eat the wrong foods, and you create a problem, and you start using these antacids, which have a lot of aluminum in it. Think about it. Okay? And don't take mega doses of vitamins and minerals. Okay? At least not for 2 weeks while you're trying to balance your pH. So these are the things you need to do to get your pH level corrected, brothers and sisters. Okay? So much for that. So hopefully you took notes on that. And I hope you're listening and not falling asleep because you had this big piece of steak or some pork chop or something that's knocked you out. Okay? We don't want to be knocked out. You want to be alert. So stay away from that stuff. Eat something that's going to keep you mentally alert, some fresh fruits and vegetables. That's what you should eat in the evening. If you don't eat a high-protein meal, do it in the afternoon somewhere, but don't eat it at night. You're just going to fall asleep. Okay, now, another topic, a lot of people ask me about this problem here, and that's cirrhosis of the liver. Many people out there have this complication. You know, cirrhosis. That's a degenerative inflammatory disease that results in hardening and scarring of liver cells. And the liver becomes unable to function properly due to scar tissue, which prevents the normal passage of blood through the liver. Yes. And the most common cause of cirrhosis of the liver is excessive alcohol consumption. None of you should be doing. And a less frequent cause is, viral hepatitis. How many of you out there listening are suffering with hepatitis virus A, B, C? Huh? And in the early stages, symptoms of cirrhosis of the liver may include constipation, diarrhea, fever, upset stomach, fatigue, weakness, poor appetite, weight loss, enlarged liver, vomiting. Some of you have red palms on your hands, and also jaundice. Those in the later stages of the disease may develop anemia, bruising due to bleeding underneath the skin, and edema, which is water retention, especially in the ankles. Think about it, brothers and sisters. That's what many of you suffer with. Okay? Now, I have a lot of recommendations here. A lot of information. I'm not sure if this is going to take the rest of the show. I'm going to try to get through it as fast as possible. But at the same time, I want you to be able to write down what is necessary for this complication. Now, I'm going to mention three of the best things you can use. Now, just right off the top of my head, it's milk thistle. Extract. Milk thistle. Thistle is T-H-I-S-T-L-E. Extract. Very good for the liver. Soy lecithin. L-I-C-I-T-H-I-N. One of the liver's best friends. You understand? Those two are excellent. And I'll name the other one later. But let's look at the essentials needed for this complication. Get you a vitamin B, as in boy, B as in big, complex, and take 100 milligrams 3 times daily. Why? Because the B vitamins are necessary for proper digestion, absorption of nutrients, and formation of red blood cells, and use a high potency formula. And some of you can use the B vitamin injections, but only under doctor's supervision, because they may be necessary depending on your condition. Okay? Plus extra vitamin B12, which would be about 1,000 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms, you can write MCG, twice daily to prevent anemia and protect against nerve damage. You can use a lozenges or the sublingual form that you put under your tongue. Folic acid, 200 micrograms daily to correct deficiencies. Okay? Now, there's so many things. Now, if you have fatty liver, phosphatidylcholine. I know I need to spell that one for you. I'll spell it slowly. Okay, here we go. P as in Peter. H-O-S-P-H-A-T-I-D as in David. Y-L. And then choline is C-H-O-L-I-N. And when you get that, you just take it as directed on the label. Okay? That's what you use. And you can also use primrose oil. Primrose is P, as in Peter, R, I, M, as in mother, R, O, S, E, primrose oil. And you can take 500 milligrams twice daily with your meals. And this is to prevent an imbalance of fatty acids found in cirrhosis of the liver. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Okay. Now, here's some very important things you should also be taking. Garlic. Garlic is an excellent food. You just have to deal with your breath on this one. Okay? But it's capsules. Capsules, you know, you won't have to worry about having strong breath with the capsules, and take it 3 times daily with meals. This helps to detoxify the liver and the bloodstream. Yes, it actually works. Okay. L-arginine. L-A-R-G-I-N-I-N-E. 500 milligrams each daily on an empty stomach. Take with water or juice. Do not take with milk, as I mentioned earlier. Okay? Very important. It helps to detoxify ammonia, a byproduct of protein digestion that can accumulate when the liver isn't functioning properly, and helps detoxify harmful toxins. Where do you get all this ammonia from? All that nasty red meat. Yes, ammonia. You didn't think that, huh? Well, I'm just letting you know now. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. Do some of your own homework. Okay? Don't be lazy. Go right to the internet. You'll find this stuff. Or get some good books like Animal Factories. Oh, there's a lot of good information in there, brothers and sisters. You want to know about the animals? Oh, believe me, you'll learn a lot. Okay. Now, L-carnitine is also good. And that's spelled L-C as in Charles, A-R, N as in Nick, I, T-I-N-E, okay, with glutathione at that. Glutathione is G-L-U-T-A-T-H-I-O-N-E. You would take 500 milligrams of each of those daily on an empty stomach. This helps prevent accumulation of fat in the liver. It's a powerful antioxidant that protects against liver cancer. Yes. Liver cancer, brothers and sisters. Has your doctor told you any of this? Those of you who have this problem, cirrhosis of the liver, did he ever suggest any of this to you? Of course not. He's in the business of pushing drugs. He gets kickbacks for all those drugs he pushes. Okay? These are the natural things you can do, brothers and sisters, without the side effects of these harmful drugs. Do you understand? Great. I spoke about the lecithin. Now, you know, lecithin can come in either granules or you can get it in the soy lecithin liquid form, which is kind of gooey. And, you know, a lot of people say, I take a spoonful of this, but that stuff is gooey. Well, take that spoonful, add it to your smoothie, blend it up so you don't have the gooey stuff in your mouth. Or you can buy the granules and you can put that in your smoothie, either way. But take a tablespoon 3 times daily with meals. And if you use the capsule form, take 2,400 milligrams and daily, three times daily, I'm sorry, with meals. It's a powerful fat emulsifier. Very good for you. You understand? Okay. And you can take a multi-enzyme complex with betaine in it and hydrochloric acid plus oxbow extract. These are things you also you can use. You can also use silymarin, S-I-L-Y-M-A-R-I-N. This is actually a milk thistle extract. Use the extract according to the direction. I'll speak on that a little more in a minute. Okay? Alfalfa, great. I mentioned that earlier. Okay? You can use some calcium, 1,500 milligrams daily in divided doses after meals at bedtime. And at bedtime, it promotes healing of tissue, beneficial for the nervous system. And you can use the chelate forms, C-H-E-L-A-T-E. Vitamin C also, like I said, 3,000, 8,000 milligrams daily. Very good. And get it in a buffered form. Buffered form. That's the best form of vitamin C if you don't take it in that form. Also, aloe vera is very helpful. Yes, I'll speak on that in a minute. Coenzyme Q10, 100 milligrams daily. And I have to try to run through some of this because I want to get to some of the other subjects. But these are many of the things you can do to help this condition. Now, just back to the herbs a little bit. And like I said, alfalfa, it helps to build a healthy digestive tract. And like I said, it's a good source of vitamin K. It helps to prevent bleeding as a result of vitamin K deficiency, which is common with cirrhosis. And it can be taken in tablet or liquid form. You can buy alfalfa in a liquid form. Go to your health food store. Aloe vera helps to cleanse and heal the digestive tract. Now, you got to take a whole leaf aloe vera. Make sure it's whole leaf aloe vera. You drink a quarter of a cup of aloe vera juice every morning and evening. Okay? One good one, I don't know if I can mention these things on here or not, but George's aloe vera juice from Warren Laboratories is good. I don't get nothing from it, but I was just suggesting some. It's a good product. And it can be taken in a cup of herbal tea if you wish. The silymarin that I mentioned earlier, which is the milk thistle extract, has been shown in scientific studies to repair and rejuvenate the liver. Take 200 milligrams of silymarin 3 times a day. That's what milk thistle is, silymarin. This is for the milk thistle. Okay? And there's some other good herbs that you can use that are beneficial with people with cirrhosis. You can write these down and run them off real quick. Barberry, that's B-A-R-berry, black radish, burdock, B-U-R-D-O-C-K, burdock root. So celandine, C-E-L-A-N-D-I-N-E. Dandelion, echinacea, fennel, golden seal, hop. Horsetail, and I'm not talking about a horse's tail now, I'm talking about an herb here. Some of you might want to chop off a horse's tail and take it, think it's going to do you some good. I'm not talking about that, okay? Irish moss, excellent food, brothers and sisters, excellent food. Red clover, rose hips, And we're talking about rose hips, the herb now, not all the hips. Suma, S-U-M-A. Thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. Also wild Oregon grape. Okay? Those are good. Now, women, if you're pregnant now, do not use the barberry, the celandine, the golden seal, or the wild oregano grape during your pregnancy. And do not take golden seal on a daily basis for more than 1 week at a time. And use it only under the supervision if you have a history of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, or glaucoma. Okay, that's a very powerful herb, that golden seal. You see? Yes. You can obtain your protein from vegetable sources and try to stay away from animal protein. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? Okay? There's so much more I can say on this subject, brothers and sisters, on this subject. But just a few more recommendations. Okay, let me try to help you out a little more. Increase your consumption of foods high in potassium, such as almonds, bananas. You can use brewer's yeast, dose or kelp, which are seaweeds. Very good for you. Very, very good for you. Prunes, raisins, brown rice, and wheat bran. Get the rice bran. Rice bran and wheat bran and seeds, all great for you. Make sure you drink plenty of water, brothers and sisters. Steam distilled water when taking your supplements. And always take them with a full glass of water. If you only knew the benefits of drinking water, some of you don't even like to drink water. You want to drink soda pop. That's dehydrating your body. I keep repeating that over and over to people on this show. And like I said, avoid the constipating foods because the liver has to work twice as hard if you are constipated. So be sure your diet contains sufficient amounts of choline, inositol, and lecithin, as well as plenty of bulk and fiber, which you get from those fibrous foods. Please do not smoke. Do not smoke. Smoking is no good for you, period. As Malcolm said, fire on one end and a fool on the other. Sorry for you smokers. Avoid alcohol. Avoid coffee, fowl, meat, table salt, soft drinks, sugar, and spicy or fried foods when you have this condition. Okay? Try a 3-day juice fast once every 30 days. Fasting is good for you. It helps cleanse the liver while fasting. Drink beet juice, carrot juice, black radish extract or dandelion extract, chlorophyll. You can buy chlorophyll in a bottle from the health food store. Make sure you have your distilled water with lemon. That's an excellent blood purifier. Or make your own natural lemonade. Put the lemons in there. Wash them first. Clean them good. Cut them up. Squeeze the juice out. Throw the lemons in the water also, the skins. And make your lemonade. If you want it sweet, of course, use pure raw honey or 100% pure maple syrup or agave. Agave syrup is also excellent. And you'll have a nice drink. Lemons are excellent for your liver and for maintaining good health. Yes. Please, brothers and sisters. Okay? And avoid cod liver oil when you have this condition. And do not take, if you take a niacin, make sure you don't take more than 1,500 milligrams of niacin daily. Take this into consideration, brothers and sisters. Animal studies indicate that the typical American diet is damaging the liver. Yes, we call it the sad diet, the standard American diet. That's the sad diet. That's the typical American diet, damaging your liver. Improper diet results in allergies, digestive disorders, a low energy level, and an inability to detoxify the harmful substances. Yes. And let me say this. The four basic reasons for poor liver function are you ready? Write them down. The presence of cumulative poisons, which are insecticides, preservatives, and other toxins can build up in and impair the liver. Even though a particular toxin may not accumulate in the liver, liver function may suffer if the function of other organs, especially the pancreas and or kidneys, is adversely affected by the toxin. Did you hear that? I just hope you're writing this down. My God, I know. Okay. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I hope you pay attention. Now, an improper diet is number two. A diet that is low in protein and high in carbohydrates and fats, especially saturated fats, fried foods, and hydrogenated fats, is hard on the liver and may not provide sufficient protein building blocks, necessary for repair. Poor food choices include processed foods, junk foods, refined white flour products, white sugar products, and imitation foods that are designed to appear and taste like an original product, but that have been robbed of natural vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. And I know it's summertime yet, and all poor people love the barbecue. My God, you're doing yourself a disservice. Here it is, 90, 100 degrees, and you're out there barbecuing this charred meat, which creates acrylamides, which are so hard on the liver and which lead to cancer. And most melanated people, that's people with melanin, people of color, you're doing yourself a disservice because it is really affecting you in a bad way. And why would you eat all that hot food? You under this, all this smoke, barbecuing, and it's 90 and 100 degrees. That's backwards thinking. You should be eating cooling foods. And I've spoken on that before. I'm just trying to help you, brothers and sisters. Stop doing that barbecuing. You are damaging your whole system. Number three for you to take into consideration is overeating. Overeating is probably the most common cause of liver malfunction. Yes, and you sitting at the barbecue trying to ingest all those nasty hot dogs, those hamburgers, and whatever else you're barbecuing, and you're stuffing yourself, and you're sitting down there falling asleep, I can't eat no more. You know, it's like those people on those hot dog eating contests. They just back to back trying to stuff those hot dogs down their throat. 30, 40 hot dogs, 50, 60 hot dogs in a certain amount of minutes. It's ridiculous. What good is that for a few dollars? Anyway, overeating creates excess work for the liver, resulting in liver fatigue. In addition, the liver must detoxify all of the various chemicals present in our food supply today. So when the liver is overworked, it may not detoxify the harmful substances properly. start eating fresh organic fruits and vegetables, which help detoxify the body. Number four to take in consideration are drugs. Yes, drugs. Whether it's recreational drugs or medical drugs. Very harmful to the liver. Yes, 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 brothers and sisters. Drugs put a great strain on the liver. Drugs are substances that are foreign and unnatural to the body. These foreign substances cause the liver to work overtime and excreting these toxins. The liver neutralizes the effects of drugs on the body. Alcohol is particularly toxic to the liver, which is a drug in all reality. And when excessive amounts of alcohol enter the liver begins to lose its functioning capacity. And other substances that can contribute to liver malfunction include oral contraceptions and caffeine. You know, I know many of you like use that Tylenol, you get these headaches and migraines. Tylenol is one of the worst offenders for the liver. Please stay away from that. When you learn how to eat properly, when you learn the right lifestyle, you don't have to worry about using these drugs. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? You won't have to worry about that. I think I covered most of what I need to cover here. But just to go over a few things. I hope you not mind me repeat certain things, but you need to know this. Because I know there are so many people with hepatitis C especially, and cirrhosis, hardening of the liver, because there's so many alcoholics out here, so many heroin users out here, especially sharing needles. You can't tell me there's not. All over the place. Your next-door neighbor may be one of them. Do you understand? Maybe using heroin and you don't even realize it. A functioning heroin addict go to work every day but shoot up their money up in their veins. So try to eat a diet of 75% raw foods. And if cirrhosis is severe, consume only fresh vegetables and fruits and their juices for at least 2 weeks, brothers and sisters. And try to include the following things into your diet. That's almonds, brewer's yeast, grains, and seeds. Okay? And nuts must be raw and from tightly sealed packages. Why I say raw? Because you don't want something that's been processed or roasted and they add salt to it. No, raw. And if you can't eat the nuts, put them in the blender. You can make you a nut milk. Okay? You add some water to it, blend it up, and you have your nut milk. Or you can just add it to your smoothie with your berries and fruits and your bananas or whatever. Blend it up. Excellent for you. And as I said earlier, eat plenty of foods high in vitamin K. Persons that have cirrhosis of the liver are often deficient in vitamin K. So good sources of vitamin K include alfalfa sprouts and green leafy vegetables. Make sure you eat kidney beans, peas, add seeds in your diet. These foods contain the amino acid arginine, which helps to detoxify the ammonia, which is a product of protein digestion, which comes from the meats. So you want to get rid of that ammonia. Drink the fresh vegetable juices such as beet, carrot, dandelion extract, and all the green drinks. Green drinks are powerful. Yes, juice those greens. Look, get the wheatgrass juice. Yes, excellent. You only have to take an ounce a day. Yes, very detoxifying. Get something called Sunflorella. Let me spell this for you. This is very important. Sun is S-U-N. Chlorella is C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A. Sun chlorella is made in Japan. The reason why the Japanese made this is because when they dropped those bombs on Nagasaki and what's the other city in Japan? I can't think of it right now. There was so much radiation in the air. They had to develop something to help them, to detoxify, and to protect them. And they come up with sun chlorella. Powerful stuff. You need to take that. Take it on a daily basis. You can take it for the rest of your life. And it gives you energy. Yes, sun chlorella. It detoxifies you, helps your liver. Make sure you drink plenty of steam distilled water. Drink some barley water throughout the day. Yes, add some barley. Yes, these are just simple things that you can do, you see. You can use oils. Extra virgin olive oil from Italy is the best. Unrefined. Also, coconut oil, one of the best oils on the planet. Excellent for the liver. Black seed oil, which is the number one oil on the planet, and studies have shown the benefit on the liver. Excellent product. Organic black seed oil, which is known as black cumin, C-U-M-I-N. Excellent. These are things you need if you have this problem, brothers and sisters. I'm stressing this to you because you need to incorporate this into your daily use if you have this problem. Or some of these things you can just take as a preventative. You see. Now, with this condition of cirrhosis, try to limit your intake of fish, especially haddock, bluefish, salmon and sardines. Even though salmon and sardines, wild-caught salmon and sardines are excellent foods, but keep it down to a maximum of maybe 2 servings a week, okay? And don't eat any raw fish. Please. It's got parasites and other things in there. It's not meant for you. And African-Americans, you're not Japanese, so you don't have to eat that raw fish. A damaged liver cannot handle the amount of vitamin A contained in these foods, those raw seafoods. Avoid the cod liver oil at this time, too. Okay? Very important. Keep the colon clean. Do a colon cleanse, brothers and sisters. You got to remove those toxins. You know, all disease starts in the colon. It becomes toxic, and the toxins accumulate in the liver, and it must be excreted through the colon and kidneys. Colon cleansing is mandatory because your colon becomes impacted with all the garbage that you eat, and it starts to swell, and it creates many problems. And one thing you don't want to do is have to have a part of your colon cut out. Believe me, you don't want to have to carry that bag on your side. Do you understand? Please do not use the harsh laxative to cleanse your system. Okay? If you do an enema, a lemon enema is preferred. And you can do that twice weekly. Okay? You can even do a wheatgrass enema. And they have what they call coffee enemas. Make sure it's an organic coffee for 2 weeks. Okay? Because both of these detoxify the system. Do not take any drugs over the counter or prescription except for those prescribed by your doctor if you really have to have it. And I know I cannot tell you not to take the drugs. but be wise about this. Do not, and listen, brothers and sisters, don't consume no alcohol. Don't consume any alcohol in any form if you have this problem. You just want to make the problem worse. You understand? The spices aren't even good for you. Any kind of stimulants or any of that stuff, the caffeines and colas, the white rice, the sugar, white flour, virtually all commercially prepared foods contain some of these toxins that just don't make things worse. Just read your food labels carefully, brothers and sisters, and avoid most fats. Okay? Stay away from the butter, the margarine. Margarine is a man-made concoction. That is something you should never eat. Margarine makes you look old. You know, you can take margarine, set it out on your table. It can sit there for a whole year and never go bad. You ever think about that? You know there's something wrong. That's nothing natural about that. You put butter out there, it'll melt. And it'll turn green. You understand? But margarine is not natural. Those vegetable shortenings, stay away from them, and any other hardened fats, fried or fatty foods, melted or hard cheeses, okay? And nuts and oils that have been subjected to heat, because you don't want those highly heated oils. Potato chips, please stay away from that junk. I know some of you just can't stay. Every time I see some people in that chips all in their hand, going away on these salted chips. Stay away from all refined and processed foods, brothers and sisters. All this overworks and damages your liver. Lastly, wow, you know what's 7:25? It's going to be lastly. And I'm not going to have time for my other subjects, and I'll tell you what those were in a minute. But there was a study, and one study showed that people with cirrhosis of the liver were found to have an imbalance of essential fatty acids, which are needed for self-protection. And after taking 10 capsules of primrose oil, that's primrose oil daily for 3 weeks, these individuals showed a marked improvement in the balance of their fatty acids. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm sorry I don't have time for these other subjects. I would never be able to cover it in 5 minutes. One was diverticulitis, okay? And you know what that is. That's dealing with your colon, in which the mucous membranes lining of the colon become inflamed. That was one of my topics I had. God willing, I will do that one next week. I wanted to speak about gallbladder disorders, which I'm going to have to speak about next week, okay? The other one was mercury toxicity. All you who have those mercury amalgams in your mouth, in your teeth, I'm sorry. I want to touch on that. And also on tonsillitis, you know, because many of you have problems with your tonsils, inflamed tonsils. I want to deal with that. So have your family members, your friends, your coworkers to tune in next week so they can get this information. Brothers and sisters, please take heed. I pray you all got something out of this lecture today, from this information that I shared with you. Please take it seriously, brothers and sisters. Please make the changes. Share this with your friends, your coworkers, your family members, whomever, strangers. Share it with them. You see, never hold on to knowledge and be selfish with it. Share it at all times. Again, I thank you for tuning in. Please tune in next week. Thank you all. I love you. I say prayers for all of you who are trying to do the best to make the changes. God bless. Enjoy your evening. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.